Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, first question for this morning session. Please find out which zikr can we read that will benefit the deceased in his qabr.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the best zikr are the du'as from the noble Quran, provided that that person from whom we are making du'a passed away with Iman and Islam. We should pray for non-Muslims while they are alive, but once they have died as non-Muslims, then we cannot pray for them, we can't do anything for them. Chapter 9, verse 84, وَلَا تُسْوَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. So that's very, very clear in the Quran Sharif. You can't pray for them, you can't go to the cemetery, you can't go to there. You know, all those memorial services and so forth and so, all haram, all that. For Muslims, we pray these two verses from the Noble Quran, chapter 14, Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. O beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. So that's a beautiful dua. Second dua, chapter number 59, Surah Hashr, in the 28th Supara, and verse number 10, chapter 59, verse 10, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. O Almighty Allah, forgive us, forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away, whether we know them or not, but we have the bond with them of Iman and Islam. So Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us, سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. So that is the du'as we should be making. And we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, believe the four schools, you read Quran Sharif for them, you read Surah Yasin, you read any other surah, all that is permissible. Why we say Surah Yasin? Because that is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu ta'ala who says, Ye Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iqra Yasin ala mawtakum. So the Salafis, they say not permissible. They Muslim, but they dhal and mudril. Majority of them are corrupted and they lead other people also astray. So this is one example also. So we should be very clear that you read Quran Sharif any part and make intention for million, billion people who passed away, who are alive, yet to come, all permissible. And you read now after sunrise, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, two rakat, salat, ishraq. You transfer the reward to them. You are in Makkah, you perform tawaf for them. You make umrah for them. So all that is permissible. And make it a habit daily. You do something for the deceased. Al-mawta kal-ghariq al-mutaghawith. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Remember, the deceased are like a drowning person shouting, screaming for help. You, the Muslims who are alive, that is how you help them with your good deeds, that are the voluntary good deeds, speech, actions, and so forth.
Mufti Sahab, mark for this course. We are getting many complaints about Muslim boys being gay. What, if any, ulama platform do we have to refer the parents to? Any advice for the ummah?
Remember that what can the ulama do? They cannot do anything. They don't have executive power. Everything the ulama do, myself or the jamiats or anybody else, ours is what? Consultative committee. We can only give you advice, you know, that's all. We don't have authority power to do anything else. Now, the question arises. These are the questions we must ask. We start asking these questions when the problem comes right in our houses. If I pose these three, four questions to you, you as a father, how did you bring up your son? You as a mother, how did you bring up your daughter, your son, and so forth? Today, we suffer from the C syndrome. When our baby is born, we must give the best clothes. When they grow up, we give them the cash, Then we give them the CDs, we give them the computers. Then when they grow up, we give them cars. Then we turn a blind eye when he has a cherry, he has a girlfriend. So all these things the Muslim does today. Who does? The Muslim, 80%. So we not worried about what Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. What was, what is, what will be the best gift, O father, mother, for your son, daughter, children, grandchildren? Ma nahala walidun waladan adad nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. The greatest gift you can give to your children is good character. So that sea we have neglected totally. Which Muslim today is bothered about his son's character or daughter's character? We don't have time. Father is busy making money and playing golf. Allah alone know what golf. Mother is busy, you understand, going to the mall and sometime meeting Paul and so forth. So that is the truth. We can't be hiding everything. So that's number one. Number two, who brought all the gadgets in the house? Who brought the TV? Who brought the cell phone? And who is promoting all this? Every movie today that plays, people phone and tell us all these things. There are adverts, you must remember, of alcohol, of gay business, of lesbian, of nudity, of music. So you erode the whole value system from a very young age. Allah gave us the quality of haya, shame, and modesty. That is what the Western satanic media wants to do. They want to destroy your very value system and your religious system. And then they desensitize you. It becomes acceptable. Today in South Africa, if a guy commits fornication, adultery, who worries about it? The government allowed it. If A and B, you must remember that Allah created Adam and Eve. They said Adam and Steve. So they are two consenting adults. So what can you do? You can't do anything about it. So you must remember that. So we, first responsibility lies with the parents. Then you come to the teachers. Then you come to the ulama and so forth and so on. And remember, therefore, Islam said we must eradicate it from our society. اُقْتُلُ الْفَاعِلْ وَالْمَفْعُولُ. That when they are consenting adults, then is a death penalty. Go open Bulughul Maram, Mishkat Sharif, Mustadha Ahmad. So these are the issues we have to ask. Not now your son became a gay, or he got married, and now he can't perform with his wife, and so forth. Who was prepared to take on that so-called gay imam, the harami, dispatched to hell, the guy who put him away? I'm very happy he put him away. So you must remember this. So he challenged everybody. I said, bring him, I'll take him on. What the nonsense you talking? They said, you see? So we must be ready to take all these kind of guys on. But what we do, everybody is frightened. I mean, let us be honest about these issues here. So therefore, we need to be very clear on this issue that the first problem lies with the parents, second problem lies with the teachers, then third problem will come the ulama, that these modern day issues, we have to address it and redress it. We can't be just sitting in etikaf and making zikr and thinking that we are doing great service for the ummah. Therefore, our darulums, we need to look at our syllabi very carefully. That if you ask our students who are graduating today, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, if you ask them, ma hiya al-almaniya, 80% never even heard the term. Ma hiya sahyuniya, ma hiya al-understand al-ishtirakiya, ma hiya al-ru'usul ma'aliya. They never even heard the term. So what you're talking about solving the problem? So al-maniya refers to your secularism. Sahyuniya refers to the Zionism. And remember, your ra'su ma'aliya refers to your capitalism. So we need to teach all these things in our madrasas and darulums. And like Shia-ism. Which madrasa today is not teaching, you must remember. So very few are teaching, you must remember that. So all this, the challenges, the current ones, we need to incorporate it in our syllabi and then be prepared to take them on and officer. See, I take the Shias on. I say, come any Shia, Kafir, Khomeini, you support him, I'm prepared to take you on anywhere. So you must remember that. You Salafi characters, I'm prepared to take you on anywhere. So my first question is, MBS Muslim or Murtad? You put them on the defensive straight away. So that is who's going to do it. From every 100 ulama and people, you get 5, 10, you'll be lucky also. So that is our own weakness. Mallam ya'rif ahla zamanihi fa huwa jahilun. Therefore, the fuqaha and the jurors have written, when you don't know your current affairs, and that you might think you're a big alim, but you're a jahil, ignorant person. Go see our books, that is what is written there. So therefore, we should keep abreast with what is happening in the world today. Allah alone protect us. As things go, things are still going to get much, much worse. Inna akhwafa ma akhwafu alaykum amila amala qawmi lutin. One of the things I fear the most for this ummah, rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is homosexuality and the gay business. Allah protect us, protect our progenies as well. Ameen.
Mufti Sahab, in some institutes, some students are being abused, whether it's girls or boys. What precaution should be taken at these institutes?
Remember, personally, I think everybody knows, as far as girl institutes go, Madrasatul Banat and all that, and they have hostels and thus. Me, I don't agree with that. You understood? Yes, you can have a girl's madrasa, and they stay at home, and then they go to the madrasa. Like how in our time, you must remember in the 60s, so you must remember we used to study by the Maulana, and then they had some appa. Today you get papas and appas, you know how it goes. So you must remember that, so they must go study there by the appa, by the muallima, and so forth. So till day it's fine. But this business now, we have a madrasa and Jamiatul Banat, and the madrasa lil Banat, and this hostel, and then the girls come from overseas. Which madrasa today in South Africa or overseas can say that what they are doing is permissible regarding the overseas students? I have a girl madrasa example, just example obviously. The girls came, ladies came from here, from London, from Pakistan, from New York, from here, there to study. How they fly up and down? They just send a group of them. Since when that is Jais? You see that? So we create a lot of problems ourselves, you must remember. Why? We want to impress the people that we got such talibat and students and so forth that come from overseas and that. But nobody travels with the mahram. 1-2 times they travel, but majority of the time they travel. What I mean, we must address these issues here. So therefore, you're asking me, and Islam also is not in favor. You know Tabligh Jamaat. Let me tell you something. In the time of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Nawarullah Marqadahu, when he started this work in 1926, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas' work of Dawat Tabligh is the best thing that happened to this ummah in the past 100 years. The split and all that is very tragic. Nobody can dispute that. But I just want to share something because you asked me the question. So in his time, there was no such thing as women must go, you know, out in Jamaat. They must stay at home. Then in there, and then he passed away in 1944. So 26 he started and 44 he passed away. The great work of Dawat and Tabligh. Then in Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab's time, then they had this Mashura for the Ulama and Hazrat Sheikh and this one and so forth and so on. And can the women go with their husbands or their mahram and so forth and so on, 3 days, 40 days, whatever the case might be. So then after big consultation and great consultation, then they said, okay, in Shara'it Kesat, with these conditions, is Jais. So all that only started, then Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab passed away in 65. So we should know that that also was not done in the initial stages and so forth. So therefore, some ulama today, they did against that also. We say the fatwa for a lady to go with her husband or to go with the father, brother, is Jais, 3 days, 10 days, 40 days. But taqwa and precaution will be that they stay at home, so that nobody will dispute that. So we must be clear on these issues here. So therefore, if you speak about institutions, personally, I don't encourage this at all, and everybody knows I'm against this hostel business. As far as our madrasas go, Darul Ulooms and so forth, you must remember. So there again, we need to be very clear. You know, Haji Farooq Sahab, our Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Jalalabadi, Nawwar Allahu Marqadahu, passed away. You must remember on a Friday in 92. And Haji Farooq Sahib passed away in 99, I think. Also on a Friday, you see. And his janaza was there in Sakkar and whatever you. So, they used to say that how in a madrasa, Darul Uloom, you have Darul Ifta, the fatwa department. You have Darul Tasnif, where you compile your books and publications. Every madrasa and Darul Uloom needs Darul Tazkiyah. We need a place where students have to learn that to this heart of ours. You see that we learn Quran, Tafsir, Hadith, Fiqh. But the heart of ours is still not connected to Almighty Allah. That heart of ours is filled with the love and saturated with the love of wealth and dunya. So that is your tazkiyah. You understood? So tazkiyah means to purify our hearts. Therefore in Bukhari Sharif it comes, Inna fil jasadi la mudgha, that in the body there is a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, that when that piece of flesh is pure, then the whole body will become pure. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, then the whole body will get corrupted and corroded and rusted. When that piece of flesh is also corrupted and corroded and rusted, which is that piece of flesh? Allah وَيَّ الْقَلْبِ, is the heart. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. So that is what is lacking today. One day, Maulana Ihtishamul Akhtanvi, I don't know, Maulana, how many times you went there to Jacob Line next to Bundu Khan. I went 5 years. Every Friday I used to be there basically. I loved Maulana's lectures. Khatib of Pakistan. So somebody asked him a question from South Africa. He said, Hazrat, you studied there in the Darul Uloom in India. Our South African ulama, the old ones, also studied there and so forth. But ek numaya farke, there's one big difference. We see your people's knowledge and our ulama's knowledge, zameen asman ka farke. There is a big difference. How come, you understood? Such a big difference. You all studied the same place. He said, Maulana Tanvi, Ihtishamul Tanvi, Nawwar Allah rahimahullah, he also passed away on a Friday. I was there in his janaza also. He passed away in India, then Saturday in Nishtar Park, we had a janaza in 1980. Anyway, he said, Ab Afriki Tolaba, you students from South Africa, the day they finish the examination, they run away. And we used to go and sit. After graduating by some Ahlullah, some Awliyaullah, pious people for 1-2 years, and then we used to go teach and lecture and do this type of thing. So how true that is. So therefore, even if you go in Jamaat, we go in the company of the real, not the plastic people today, the real Awliyaullah, then that will have a good impact upon us. And then the Amr bin Ma'ruf, Nahiyan il-Munkar will have a greater impact, remember that.
Okay, sir, I bought a block of khajur from a grocery store before Ramadan. Yesterday, I wanted to use it. When I broke the khajur, I found worms in it. How must I discard the khajur?
So you must remember that if you can remove the worms and all that, then you can eat it also. And if you feel that now this is all cumbersome and difficult, just leave it there outside. So whoever wants will take it. You must remember non-Muslims, animals, whoever, this, that and all that. Don't go give it to Muslims if tough time and all that. They'll come and fight with you. You come send all here with the worms and all that. Then the damal will start. You know, the problems will start. So you can't be using that in the masjid and sending to other people and so forth. Then you need to ask yourself also a question. Maybe that Mota who sold you that, you want to tell him also that you can just contact them and tell them, Baji, I bought this just before Ramadan and now 2 weeks in Ramadan is like that. So you sold me all expired stuff or what, you see. So you must remember, you should bring it to his notice, maybe give you a refund also, and then you return that to him, he can do whatever he wants to. But end of the day, that what we must do also, that we must try and use this khajur as soon as possible, remember. Like myself, the khajur, I love, Even last night, you understand, while we were eating, you know, after Maghrib Salat and so. So I told my wife, you see, you must put this khajur every day for me. Suhoor time and after Maghrib when I come. There's the fresh, fresh rutab. You press it, all the juice comes out, you see that. So you are just smiling, you must remember that. So that is, so sometimes the person selling it also sells old stock. And sometimes we at home also, we store it so much. Then when it's expiry date or when it's finished now, then we wake up. So we also must look at what we are doing. Wallah wal musta'an, Allah Ta'ala help us all and assist us all.
Kitab, what is the reward for a person passing away on a Jummah and a person with Roza in the month of Ramadan?
When a person passes away on a Friday, any time of the year, so remember what Iman and Islam, that is the condition. Otherwise they say Elvis Presley, leave Elvis Presley, he's Shaitan also, Abu Jahal. He died on a Friday. He died in Ramadan. If somebody tells you ABC, my sister Farida Arbi, there in Tonga, Dr. Junaid Arbi's mother, passed away Friday morning in Ramadan, 9:30 a.m. and so forth. We had janaza after Asr. You say, Subhanallah, what a Mubarak death and so. So that is for people with Iman. People who die without Iman, Islam, like Abu Jahal, they dispatch straight to Jahannam and the hellfire. Go read chapter 44 and go see the last ruku there and verses number 45, 46, 47 and all that there. So the hadith is sahih, authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. Man tawaffahu Allahu yawm al-jumu'ah aw laylataha waqahu Allahu min fitnati al-qabr. Whosoever Allah give death, what Iman it means in Islam, on the Friday, the day, or the night of Friday, what we call Thursday night. So after Maghrib, after sunset, till sunset, the 24 hours, that person passes away. وَقَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْقَبَرِ. Allah will protect that person from the torment, punishment of the grave, right till the day of justice, remember. Hadith in Tirmidhi and Hadith in Sahih. So if you look at all the hadith on that topic. So that's one. A person passes away in Ramadan, what Iman and Islam, so for him also will be protection right till the day of justice, from the day of the understand, from the day he passed away. Go open Ahsanul Fatawa. Hazrat Mufti Rashid Ahmad Sahib in Ahsanul Fatawa wrote a wonderful discussion on that, and we see the hadith. Futtihat abwaabul jannah wa ghulliqat abwaabul nar. So remember, the doors of Jannah are all flung open. The doors of Jahannam are closed. But the prerequisite and proviso is the person must pass away with Iman and Islam. So therefore, a person passing away on Friday, passing away in Ramadan, passing away on Monday, so all that are considered very, very good signs. We must remember that. With Iman and Islam, daily, O Sa'im, O fasting person, O Muslim, O Muslimah, if you don't know it, learn it today. Chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 101, Tawaffani Muslima wa alhiqni bis salihin. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, let me pass away with Iman and Islam and unite me with the pious, pious people. So that is what we should be begging, Almighty Allah, especially now with the last 10 nights and odd nights coming. The greatest gift which Allah confers upon us is death with Iman and Islam.
Mufti Sahib, we make dua for forgiveness. In this, a lot of crooks and those who caused a lot of mischief and damage to other Muslims, so collective dua is not right.
So you must remember, Quran teaches us we must make dua for everybody. Surah 14, verse 41, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers. So Quran is teaching us that يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ, the day that the reckoning is established. So yes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua for the entire ummah. Now, your point, you must remember that there were many crooks, there were many people who caused harm to the Muslims, many people who caused harm to non-Muslims, unjustified. They took loan from them, from the Jew, or from the Hindu, or from anybody else, Christian, and didn't pay them back, and so forth. So when we make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala for forgiveness, that has to do with hukukullah, the rights of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. And remember, as far as hukukul ibad goes, that Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will let that be sorted out, the rights of human being, on the day of justice. But we cannot make selective dua, Ya Allah, only for the Mawlanas, only for the Tablighis, only for this one and that one, forgive them. Nay, any person, remember, who has Iman, Islam, we will continue making dua for them. Allah forgive us all. Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, give us tawfiq, that we make sincere tawbah, we become better Muslims. Quran Sharif is motivating us. Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu an, Fatih Khaybar, Haydar Qarrar, radiallahu ta'ala an, was asked, Ayyatu ayatin arja indaka fi kitabillah, which ayat of the noble Quran, 6,236 verses, motivated you the most in the noble Quran and inspired you the most? He said, chapter 39, verse number 53, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusim, O my servants, you went beyond the limits, you committed so many vices and sins. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disillusioned, never despair in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Jalla wala, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily, Allah will forgive all the sins. If Allah wants, tomorrow on the day of justice, that person crooked you, that person caused you harm, Allah will tell you, I will give you, you the oppressed person, the victim, higher stages in Jannah, but forgive this person. Then you also will say, I have forgiven. Give me that higher stages in Jannah. So Allah does as He pleases. He is fa'alul lima yurid. He does as He pleases. La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun. Nobody can question His authority, His sovereignty, His majesty, and He will question all of us. So that is what we say in the light of Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah. Last question, Mawlana.
What is the best dua we can make for Palestine?
The greatest dua you can make for Palestine, Ya Allah, these Jutlas and Haramis, these Zionists and Americans and British and India and all these Arab tenpot dictators helping them, give them hidayat. And if there's no hidayat for them, then you decimate and destroy them. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, he told his people, see, we cannot fight against the Pharaoh, and then we don't have the army, we don't have the arms, we don't have anything to take them on. So each one of you, you must do the following. This is enshrined in the noble Quran, remember that. Alallahi tawakkalna. You want the dua, learn this dua. So each one of us place our trust solely, only in Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. Alallahi tawakkalna. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Ya Allah, do not make us a trial for a people who are the zalims, the oppressors and tenpon dictators. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Ya Allah, you save us through your mercy from a people and nation who are the disbelievers. Surah Yunus, chapter number 10. Verses 85 and 86, read that dua, give out charity, go to Palestine, you men especially, and now the last 10 days, mashallah, go make sunnat etikaf, nafil etikaf, Allah Jalla wa'ala, destroy and decimate and dismantle the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime and Hitler's children. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.